The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
And we have experts joining us in studio today with Christensen's PLLP. And Joel and Sarah are here. And Joel, good to see you, first of all. And happy Easter.
Yeah, thank you. Same to you, Bill. And spring, I think, is hopefully going to stick around. That's what we're saying, but I'm not going to jinx it. I'm going to knock on wood here so we don't do that. But yeah, I got my esteemed partner and colleague, Sarah DeRue, with me today.
Good morning.
And it's been a real busy time for both of you, I'm sure.
Yeah,
that's an understatement. Yeah, we're coming off our season here. From a tax perspective, I probably do a little more tax than Sarah does, but we have till April 18th, I guess, for the folks out there who want to, you know, procrastinate. But we have a lot to do yet in our office, and we work right up to the end. And we're the most efficient we are right now, even though we're probably the most tired. But we also know the software the best, all the programs, everything, so we can get a lot done pretty quickly.
Yeah. Have there been a lot of changes again in the past year, or did that kind of settle down a little bit, Sarah?
Well, I would say there's always changes, and I think you know, we've dealt with those, not maybe as many as what we've seen in past years. More changes to come. So a lot of clients are taking a look at that and what opportunities for tax planning in the future too might present themselves. So I feel like it's a lot of what we need to do now, but also kind of looking ahead as well.
Yeah. I just saw a headline again today that it was really a good year, 2022, for farmers. Despite, you know, a lot of fears that maybe yields were going to be down, the prices really held good. And I know, you know, the price of inputs and rents and everything keeps going up, but apparently still was quite profitable for many.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the best ever, but it's in the top 10 for sure. And I don't know if it was probably a surprise because the input scared a lot of folks. There was a big jump in input, you know, prices, and you're always worried about a yield, of course. And here in our local area, I think most, believe it or not, got a lot of yield out of the little bit of juice we did. And when we did get the juice, it was quite timely. There's more irrigation than there's ever been too, so that helps a lot. And of course, crop insurance is something that farmers, you know, invest in. I call it an investment. So they always seem to be covered, but there wasn't on my returns, I guess, very few crop insurance claims. We had a lot of equipment and building claims because of all the wind and hail.
Right.
You know, so that was the most I've ever seen. I guess, Sarah, I'm not sure what you saw in your book, but we saw a lot of that going on, and a lot of folks didn't and couldn't get it fixed because of the delay in getting people and supplies. Again, we're still in the whole post-COVID trying to get our stuff figured out. And from an IRS perspective, you do have 2 years to get that done before you have to, per se, claim it. So so we have flexibility on the tax side, but that was probably the unique thing this year was that.
Yeah. Now, as far as COVID, anything else are there any programs still out there yet where people can apply and get some relief if they're business owners and things like that?
Nothing really new. The employee retention credit, which a lot of our clients are getting bombarded with a lot of advertisements, which you say, Sarah, about, hey, you're going to miss out on this big credit. Well, it's not anything new. It's the same old retention credit we've had for years. The reason why they're pushing it is on that first, you get it on your payroll tax returns. And that first set is it was due actually on March 31. You have a three-year statute on that, or three-year, but you can look back and amend. So that first quarter has already passed on that statute. So that's where I think a lot of folks were pushing. But that still is an opportunity. If you didn't have PPP loans back then, and if you didn't take that opportunity and or show a decrease in your revenue, which is the primary thing you have to have on that, and many of the advertisements are promising things, and I look to Sarah, I know you're shaking your head, they're promising that, you know, it doesn't matter if you had a reduction in revenue or not, as long as you had, you know, been impacted, and they're making it really almost too good to be true, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Yeah. In fact, I just had an email this morning from a client who got a email from a ERC consultant. Hey, you can qualify. Have you looked at this? And so we definitely tell our clients, send it to us. We can take a look at it. Don't fall into these scams because many of them get paid up front.
That's what I was wondering.
So unfortunately, you're out that cash and you may have to wait for an extended period of time, possibly for that ERC credit, or maybe it would be disqualified. You know, we're not sure. So
the old adage, Bill, if it looks too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
Right.
And
yeah,
many of our clients, you know, in that crazy time we call that COVID era there, they had forgotten they did it. So are like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, well, we looked at our records and we did in fact look and you didn't qualify, or we did in fact already apply for that and you already got that money. And in the cell and these marketing materials, they tout it as don't miss out on this new opportunity. And it's really not new, but kudos to them for marketing, because it literally has gotten everybody's attention somehow. And everybody doesn't want to miss out. You know, I get it. If it's quote free money, they want it. But a lot of folks, they just don't qualify, and or we already did it, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, I would agree.
Well, Joel, you wanted to talk a little bit about the ins and outs of your business today, too, kind of as a focal point, you know, the accounting business and some of the opportunities that maybe people don't realize are there, and you know, what all goes involved into becoming an accountant. I'm sure there's a fair amount of education you have to have.
Well, yeah, Sarah and I wanted to visit in our industry, not just public accounting, but accounting in general. We're seeing less and less graduates out of our four-year schools to pursue accounting, and especially to pursue a CPA, which in public accounting, we really prefer to be a CPA, if you will, to get the taxes signed, the audited financials signed, and all that stuff. And through COVID and through, you know, less people are going to college, less people are realizing that in this very tight job market, a lot of our high school seniors, I have one that is looking out there and he's like, Dad, I can make $25 an hour without even going to college. How do I pass that up? So that's a hard conversation to have. It wasn't hard with my son because I told him, sorry, buddy, that's not how it's going to play out. But so all those things are creating challenges in our industry, and I guess, Sarah, you're a board member on our Minnesota Society of CPAs who have a real inside track. And I know the numbers continually are going down as far as what's coming into our marketplace. And we had the baby boomers on the other side retire. Mm-hmm. And now Sarah and I are here in the middle trying to pick and hold on to the pieces, right? Mm-hmm. So what's your take on the society's view of what's going on?
Yeah, we talk a lot at board meetings. I've been a board member at the MNCPA for just over a year now. And a lot of our focus is the CPA pipeline and the declining people going into the accounting profession in general. And then especially, like Joel said, taking the CPA exam. They looked at trends in the last 10 years, and there's 800 less, just in the state of Minnesota, 800 less CPAs in that 10-year window. And then looking ahead in the next 5 years, looking at the retiring CPAs, It's just going to be a windfall of the work is still there. The work is actually more demanding and increasing with all the complexities out there. But there's definitely less CPAs and accountants in general going into the profession. So it is a increasing issue that, you know, we talk about a lot, what different recruiting options, getting into the high schools more. I know Joel's been at ACGC, I've been at BBE, we've been at Wilmer NLS as a firm, getting into the high schools, trying to talk more about the profession and what opportunities that there are, because I think people think of CPAs and think of they just grind 80 hours a week during the tax season, and that's not true. The opportunities are just endless, and I'm not going to say the busy seasons are not difficult at times. However, the pros definitely outweigh some of those. So we're just trying to educate people more about that.
And I would imagine then in high school especially, maybe even earlier than that, there are courses you want to be taking if that might be an option later on, you know.
Well, ironically, at ACGC, I can't speak to other schools, but we haven't had an accounting class since the late 90s.
Okay.
Because of budget cuts and different things, and the business program at our school got cut. I can't speak to Wilmer or NLS. I'm not sure how BBE is. And that hurts also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that stereotype that Sarah probably talked about, we do grind, but everybody does in their jobs at some point, right? Mm-hmm. And our industry has changed from just providing numbers and being able to add and use 10 keys to we are part of the circle of trust. We are part of that team that helps business owners understand where they've been and where they're going to go. And we as a firm are looking for the people who are thinking about not just the numbers, about what it means. And our industry, and I think Sarah would agree with this also, is about communication and interpreting and explaining things. It's not just giving you, Bill, if you're my client, a piece of paper that says, here are your taxes. Mm-hmm. And you look at this piece of paper or an audited financial statement that Sarah does, and you're like, I have no clue what this means. Tell me, Sarah, tell me, Joel, what this means. That is what our industry, and that's where our focus has to be right now, is on how to explain it. Because as Sarah said, it's getting more complicated than ever. Tax is more complicated. There's more loopholes. There's more opportunities. There's more things we can make mistakes on. And in the audit world, there's new codification coming out all the time. And it's just a very complicated world where if you're an accounting major and if you pursue a CPA, you have so many tools in your toolbox. Besides the fact that you can probably get a job and name your price now, I shouldn't say that. No, with everybody listening on the radio and all my staff are going to say, hey, Joel, I want this.
But, I want a 20% raise.
Yeah. And you know, it's been crazy. I mean, to get people in like that. So we find our industry to be at the very cusp of, and I call it the trust, you know, the circle of trust. We are generally the first people that get called on certain life events, on, hey, I'm thinking about expanding my business. We are that first line of, if we want to call it defense or offense. And we take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, you talk about things that kind of float a person's boat. That it's not the numbers, Bill, that makes my boat float. It's the fact that I can help people and help them through difficult times, challenging times, and seeing their success and their rewards is so rewarding for me as a professional to be able to say I had a small part of that.
Yeah. Well, what about eligibility then? Is there going to be any loosening of, you know, maybe that to try to entice more people to pursue a career in accounting?
Mm-hmm. So the MNCPA board has just introduced a bill for legislation to provide alternate paths to take the CPA exam. So we're trying, obviously it's not a one solution that's going to fix all the problems, but definitely will help. So currently, the CPA exam, you have to have 150 credit hours plus 1 year of experience in order to get your CPA licensure after passing the exam. You know, obviously, with a four-year degree, you get typically about 120 credit hours. So that's a financial burden. Future employees have another probably year before they can get a full-time job. And again, with the, you know, limited resources, we're looking for those people sooner rather than later. So we introduced legislation to provide alternates to allow also 120 credit hours and 2 years of experience as well. So definitely the unfortunate thing is those additional 30 hours do not have to be accounting classes. It can be Phi Ed classes. It can be any sort of college classes. So as far as the value provided to the CPA credential, we think honestly, allowing an additional year of experience would probably be more valuable than the additional 30 credits. Again, just an alternate. People still can do one or the other. But right now it's going through the legislative session. We've had a lot of pushback from some national agencies because, again, they want all the states to align. Mm-hmm. And right now they all are. However, some other states have also talked about introducing similar bills. Minnesota is the first one to actually do it. So we're kind of excited about that just because I think it will really help to broaden the path for the CPA.
Are you optimistic, though, that they're going to enact it, do you think, the way it's written out?
Not this. I don't think this session.
No.
I don't think it will happen this session. But and I'm very proud of that body to bring that up. Without us bringing that to their attention, it's on the radar. So it's on the radar now, and I think in other states it's on the radar. And the AICPA, which is our national governance board, if you will, has said we need to do something. And I think they're reaching out to the state agencies, aren't they, to do that?
Yep. There's been a lot of discussions with the AICPA, with NASBA, another national association. Again, we wanted visibility and just wanted to start those discussions to, we've tried to bring up those discussions, but until the bill was introduced, that definitely had some traction in future conversations. So like Joel said, probably not this legislative session, but I would imagine next legislative session that we'll see that bill being passed.
Right. Now, they're also talking, not talking, it's going to change the national CPA exam. Its format is changing somewhat, which I'm glad I've already got my CPA, so I have to take it. yeah, sincere as well. I don't think it's making it easier. I think it's changing the things you can pick from. Is there anything you wanted to share on that, Sarah?
Yep. So starting in January 2024, currently there's four sections: financial, audit, tax, and business concepts. The business concepts is going away, and it's going to be replaced by three disciplines. And I actually had to write them down because I don't remember. It's business analyst, analysis, tax compliance, or information systems and controls. So it kind of allows a potential CPA candidate to look at those three disciplines, see what maybe intrigues them the most, mm-hmm. and pursue that as far as that fourth section.
And I
CPA
bet there's jobs in all those sectors, right?
Absolutely. You know. Back to the trusted advisor that Joel mentioned, it's not just preparing your tax return or financial statements. It's well beyond that and looking at much more of these consulting and analysis opportunities as CPAs. So.
Yeah, and this test isn't easy, and it never has been, and I don't want it to be easy, right? You know, as an old guy, I can say, oh, they're making the test easy, and they're not. I mean, there's more things to know and learn and all that stuff. They're changing the format. I like how Sarah said it. It's creating that discipline that you have a passion in. Mm-hmm. We always do better on things we have passion with, right, Bill?
Right.
Right, Sarah? So, I mean, that's how, if you allow a student and or potential CPA examiner to look at that and choose their discipline, I believe the success rate will go up. I don't even know the stats anymore on success rates of passing the CPA the first time. It's only like, is it 10%, 15% on the first time getting all four done? Bing, bing, bing. And they don't even allow you to take all four tests at one time, do they? It's like a 3 or 4 week lapse, right, between the two or the four?
Right. Now you take one at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think they have testing windows, and it's typically once a month, I think, that you
once
can
a
take.
Month, yeah.
And then they have some test out months as well. So, definitely a lot of opportunity to take the exam and to spread that out, but it is very intense as well, and takes a lot of studying and dedication to commit to that, but yields a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. So we really want to let people know what the benefits are for that.
Yeah. Well, I know you want to maybe just give us some personal reasons why somebody would want to consider a career, and what you really enjoy about, being an accountant and a CPA. And Sarah, do you want to start with kind of what drives your wagon, so to speak?
I can. I would say the people, number one by far, the people being servicing my clients, always, providing them quality service, but our team members as well. We work with a variety of team members, and getting to know them and work with them is very valuable to me. And then continuous learning. I always learn something new, I feel like, every day from my team members, from my clients, from industry experts. And so that continuous learning is exciting to me.
Yeah, I could see where that would be. I mean, it's a good reason to come to work, because you don't know exactly what's going to happen that day. So
there isn't a day in my life that's ever created the same. And every day it's a challenge in a good way. Some days you wish you didn't have as many challenges, perhaps, of course, but that constant thirst for knowledge. Sarah of our partner group has probably the greatest thirst for knowledge, just pure knowledge. But we all appreciate the practicality and practical and how we hit, how does the rubber hit the road kind of stuff. And there isn't a day where I look at my watch and go, man, I wish the day would just get done. Our days are so interesting. They're so innovative. They're so dynamic, because every day a client situation is going to be different. We're all born human, but we all have different personalities, right? So every time a client walks in, I have a different personality, a different set of circumstances I need to look at all the time. And why I chose accounting in the old days, and again, back in my day, we the jobs weren't as plentiful. So the job I got with Ide Bailey out of Fargo, there was 100 applicants for one job, Bill.
Wow.
Wow, right? And that, I know people out there listening like, man, I feel bad for Joel, first of all. But second, the market is so different now. So some of the hunger's gone. But I chose accounting for its practicality, somewhat recession-proof, all right? And it's, you're always going to need this type of service because of our expertise, as I already mentioned. I also chose it because I believe financially you get paid for your knowledge. And yes, accountants, CPAs can be, quote, expensive by many people. But imagine the knowledge that we have that we can do to help you, and the value that we bring to the table is probably, you know, something you can't always put a price tag on. Well, of course we do, and we get paid for our time, and that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud of that. And for a starting person, you know, coming out of college, my starting salary was $23,000, which today sounds like, man, that's just a fart in the wind, right? That is, ain't much, right? I hate to even say what our numbers are now, but it's north of $50,000 right now for a starting person who basically knows, no offense out there, guys and gals, nothing except textbook, right? That's a very good salary that's only got one direction to go, right? That curve, if you want to call it, that trend goes up very quickly, as we already said, with our demand that we have right now. If you chose accounting today, I guarantee you, one, you're going to have a job. Two, you're going to be challenged every day and be really happy with it. And three, I think your salary is going to grow twice as fast as your neighbor who maybe chose not to do in a different industry. Now, there's other industries that have the same kind of curve. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're the only ones. But that's what I told my son. You can go and work for that place, manufacturing, construction, good jobs, and you're going to get cash up front. While I'm still in college and I'm spending money to get my degree and spending money to get my CPA exam all done. But after that happens, I'm going to grow twice as fast. Yeah. And those are things you have to consider. You got to do what you love, though. And I told my son, who probably will not be an accountant, which is fine. He has a gift for it, but he may not do it because dad's got a crappy job, right? So he's not going to do that, right? But it's... I need him to do something he's passionate about. And Sarah mentioned that a long time ago. You got to do something that you're passionate about. And if you're passionate about helping people, and if you're passionate about, you know, feeling that reward about being part of that success, there's no question accounting in any aspect, public accounting, private accounting, if you go into finance, you know, that's the kind of world we live in, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I want to piggyback off of when you start in that first year, the amount that you learn, especially in public accounting, is so, so valuable, and there's so much to learn. And even looking back, I think every staff, myself included, you know, when I started looking back and seeing what you learned is just amazing. And then even going forward in your career, I mean, every day a client will call and I'm like, well, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to learn something new today. So it's definitely an exciting career and a lot of opportunity that goes along with it.
All right. Well, we've exhausted our
time.
Have
we? Come on. I got more to talk to you about, Bill.
I know you do, but
okay.
Yeah, we
next time. We'll talk about AI next time.
Yeah, we
got to do that.
Yeah, there you go. They're even using that at the Twins now. They'll be able to tell if you're carrying any weapons. So,
well, I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, right? It is a good thing.
Yeah, and awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting me go over time, Bill.
Yeah, thank you both, Sarah. Good to
thank
see you.
You
again. And Joel, have a good Easter, both of you.
Yeah,
and
thank you, Bill.
Look forward to further visits.